The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter number 14, text number 18, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 14th, 2010, in Durban, South Africa.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Lord Krishna, chapter 14, Lord Krishna explains the yoga system, text number 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Bhajyamana.
Bhajyamana.
Api. Mat Bhakta. Vishayai. Ajita.
Indriya.
Praya.
Praya.
Pragalvaya
Bhaktya
Vishayai
Na
Abhibhuyate Bhajyamano Pimad Bhakto Vishayai Rajatendriya Praya Pragalvaya
Bhaktya
Vishayar
nabibhuyate
Bhajyamano pimad bhakto Vishayar
rajatendriya
Praya pragalbaya bhaktya Vishayar nabibhuyate Bhajyamana,
Bhajyamana,
being harassed,
being harassed.
Api,
Api,
even though,
even though.
Mat
Bhakta,
my devotee,
my devotee.
Vishayai,
Vishayai,
by the sense objects,
by the sense objects.
Ajita,
Ajita,
without having conquered,
without having conquered.
Indriyai,
Indriyai,
the senses,
Praya,
generally, Pragalvaya,
effective and strong,
Bhaktya,
by devotion,
Vishayai,
by sense gratification,
not.
Abhibhuyate
is defeated. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. My dear Uddhava, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires. But because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. Purport. Abhibhuyate indicates falling down into the material world and being defeated by Maya. Even though one's senses are not fully conquered, one who has unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna does not run the risk of being separated from him. The words pragalbhaya bhaktya indicate a person who has great devotion for Lord Krishna and not one who desires to commit sinful activities and chant Hare Krishna to avoid the reaction. Because of previous bad habits and immaturity, even a sincere devotee may be harassed by lingering attraction to the bodily concept of life, but his unflinching devotion for Lord Krishna will act. Srila Vishwanatha-charitamrita Thakura gives the following two examples. A great warrior may be struck by the weapons of his enemy, but because of his courage and strength, he is not killed or defeated. He accepts the blow and goes on to victory. Similarly, one may contract a serious disease, but if he takes the proper medicine, he is quickly cured. If those who follow the impersonal path, the impersonal system of speculation and austerity, deviate even slightly from their path, they fall down. A devotee, however, even though immature, never falls from the path of devotional service. Even if he displays occasional weakness, he is still considered a devotee if his devotion to Lord Krishna is very strong. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, Apichet sudaracharo ochate mam ananya bhak sadur eva samantavya samyagravisitohisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha. Therefore, sincerity is the key. Even if we are not pure devotees, even if we are still being tortured by so many distractions of the mind, if simply we can be sincere, that sincerity will carry us through. When a sincere person makes a mistake, he regrets that mistake. He doesn't proudly try to deny that he made a mistake. Committing mistakes is one of the four defects of the conditioned soul. So it is natural, as long as we are conditioned, that we will make mistakes. Our senses are imperfect. We have a tendency to be illusioned. We proudly think ourselves great, in spite of these imperfect senses and illusions. And we make so many mistakes. But the sincere devotee, he wants to rectify his position. He wants to become a pure devotee. He wants to become spotless Vaishnava. That is sincerity. So even if there is difficulty along the way, If he sincerely tries to become perfect, Krishna will see. He will protect that devotee. This is not license that, well, Krishna is very merciful, therefore I can deviate and I'll be okay. No. That is greatest sin. To sin on the strength of chanting, that is the greatest sin. So we must chant. Sincerely try to become perfect. Keep chanting. Even if there are so many imperfections, we must continue. Sometimes we hear argument that I am so offensive, my chanting is so offensive, I'm such an aparadi, better I don't chant at all. I don't want to chant offensive, I don't want to commit nama-aparadi, therefore I better not chant. We hear that excuse. But that is more offensive, you see. That I'm a nama-aparadi, what can I say? It's the reality. I'm a nama-aparadi, I might as well admit it. I'm nama-aparadi, I'm not perfect in my chanting. But it is called the lesser of two evils, you see. To keep chanting, in spite of my offenses, trying to get rid of them, that is, even though I'm nama-aparadi, to chant in this state, that is the lesser of, the greater of two evils is not to chant at all. That is more offensive. So it's better I chant, even though it's not perfect. You see, the lesser of two evils. It is evil position. It is not perfect. I'm not proud of my position as a nama-aparadi, you see. I consider it an evil position. But it is lesser of two evils to chant in that state than the not chant at all, which is the greater of the two evils. But it is divine also, because that chanting, even though I'm imperfect, I'm chanting, in due course of time, by sincerely trying to avoid the offenses, in due course of time, that chanting will become perfect. Sometimes they ask, well, should I just chant and not worry about anything else? Won't that eventually purify me? Or should I try to follow all the rules and regulations and then chant? Well, sometimes we cannot follow every rules and regulations. And it's very difficult for us because we don't have higher taste. So actually, we must cultivate both things. Just because I'm imperfect, that doesn't mean I should not chant. No, I should chant and in that way become perfect. The same time as I'm chanting, I should try to follow the regulated principles. Someone says, well, I can't stop eating meat. I've given up beef, but I'm still eating fish. So should I chant or not? You see, I'm eating fish. No, you keep chanting. And gradually that fish eating will go away. Vishayana vinivartante nirahara shadehina rashavar shangrashopyashra parangrishtanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So we must chant. Even though I may not be following all the rules, I may not be perfect, still everyone should be encouraged to chant. Everyone should be encouraged to chant Hare Krishna Mantra. Even the most sinful jagais and madais, everyone should be encouraged to come and join in the kirtan. Because that kirtan gives an experience, a transcendental feeling, a transcendental ecstasy, which surpasses any happiness that one can taste in this material existence. So, when one gets that taste, then the lower tastes become very pale and insignificant in comparison To simply try to give up sinful life without getting that higher taste, it is not a practical program. One may temporarily do, but in due course they will fall down. The Mayavadis, the yogis, they deny the material sense gratification. They try to fix themselves on the transcendental platform, but they cannot remain on that platform. This taste of chanting Krishna's name, it is most important, Nama Ruchi. We can study the ladder of bhakti perfection, and we can see where Nama Ruchi comes along that ladder, and we can understand the necessary steps that we have to go through and perfect to reach this platform, Nama Ruchi. First thing, Shraddha. One must have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. And when that faith is there, then one will want to see who are those persons who are practicing Krishna consciousness, the sadhus. One will then take advantage of that sadhu association, because by associating with the sadhu, sangat sanjayate kama, you see, Krishna says, according to your association, you develop your consciousness. So, by associating with saintly devotees of the Lord, then the dormant propensity, the natural calling of the soul to engage in Krishna consciousness will become revived. So that sadhu sangha is very important thing. And then, from sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, I see the devotees, they are doing this, they are bowing down when they enter the temple room. They are giving up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. They're becoming initiated by bona fide spiritual master, chanting by this vow to chant at least 16 rounds daily and follow these principles. So I see what they are doing, now let me do also. I'm suffering in this material existence, but now I see these devotees, by following these principles, they are tasting a pleasure far beyond any pleasure I have seen of sense enjoyment. This was my experience. A miserable person in this material world, but when I met one Vaishnava, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, I could see what he was tasting. Being in his presence, I could sense what nectar he was tasting at every minute by being Krishna conscious. And that was very impressive then, to see that exalted state of consciousness that he was situated in. And he was giving me everything I needed that I could also achieve that divine consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So that sadhu sangha, you see, a little faith is there, preliminary faith, and by taking these sadhu sangha, then that faith increases. Actually, at every step, the faith becomes stronger. Even though faith is the foundation, you see, then you build, you have faith and you go to sadhu sangha, but that sadhu sangha, when you add this, the foundation becomes stronger. And then bhajana kriya, you take up the activities of bhakti, you get initiated, etc. That makes the faith even stronger. And then, by this principle of taking shelter of guru, taking initiation from guru, following instructions of guru, you see, then all that dirt, all those anartas in the heart, they are gradually cleansed away, anarta nivritti. And then the faith even becomes more solid, you see. And then, as Prabhupada used to say, fixed up. That is called in Sanskrit language, nishta. After that dirt is cleansed down, then you become very solid, nishta. That means your faith is even more solid now, you see. And then at that point, after you've cleansed that dirt out of the heart, you become subtly fixed, then Namaruchi, the real taste for the name, begins. So in the beginning, we don't really have Namaruchi. We have a little shadow. Or sometimes a little sneak preview from Krishna. But that sneak preview or that little shadow is so sweet and so enlivening that it encourages us to go to the real Namaruchi down the road. We can learn about the real Namaruchi by studying the writings, the songs of Narottam Das Thakur. He is humbly presenting himself as somebody in our position. He's hankering for Namaruchi. When will that opportune moment come to me while I'm chanting the name of the Lord? By chanting Hare Krishna, the tears will flow from my eyes. When by uttering Gaudama's name, I feel trembling throughout my entire body. You see, he is praying like that. When will an opportune moment come to me when I will taste like that? You see, he is already tasting. But to teach us that mood of hankering, he is presenting himself as a conditioned soul like us. So now we are neophyte chanters, you see. If we will follow these principles very nicely, every day, chanting at least 16 rounds on the beads, rising early, attending Mangal Arati, hearing the Bhagavatam class, the wonderful program that Prabhupada has given us. If we will stick to this program very faithfully, whatever our occupation, it doesn't matter whether I'm a businessman, a politician, a temple manager, a preacher, a pujari, whatever my occupation. If I will base it on this very nice program of chanting Hare Krishna, rising early, singing Gravastakam prayers, if I will base my daily occupational duties on a solid program of sadhana every morning, then that will purify my consciousness. And then when I do my occupational activities, they will make sense. Why am I doing this? You see? Yat karoshi yadashnashi yat jahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi konteya tat kudushpa madarpanam. Then it will all make sense. One of our members, she was a graduate student. She had a huge load of studying to do, papers to write, classes to attend. And she also had her 16 rounds to complete. So she came home from a hard day at school with all these papers to write, exams to study for, what to do. She was so bewildered. Her beads were sitting there untouched. What to do? What should I do? And then she realized, no, chant first. First thing is chant those 16 rounds. So she chanted her 16 rounds, and then everything made sense. I'm writing this paper for Krishna. I'm studying for this exam for Krishna. As soon as she put her rounds first, then all the activities she was doing in her occupational duty as a student, all of those activities now were not just something floating out there in the ether. Now they were for Krishna. Everything made sense. So the point is, we have to base our day in very, very good chanting. Or we can say enchanting chanting. We have to chant in such a way that our minds become enchanted with the holy name. It's a very nice connection in English language between chanting and enchanting. If our chanting is not enchanting, it is namaparan. But if we chant very nicely, avoiding the offenses, then the mind will become enchanted by the chanting. You see, it is called transcendental meditation. One will feel that he is diving into an ocean of unlimited nectar, not just, well, I got to get these done, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Not like that. One will actually feel how he is deep sea diving in an ocean Namamrita Sindhu, the nectarian ocean of Krishna's names. This should be a regular daily thing. We take our bath and the shower in the morning, and then we take even the more important bath, and that is bathing in the nectarian ocean of Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna Namamrita Sindhu. So in this way, if we can take complete shelter of Krishna, then all of the attractions of this material existence, they will lose their attraction. A devotee does not have to struggle to follow the regulative principles. Once he becomes a little bit advanced in getting a taste from hearing and chanting about Krishna, then, as they sometimes say, it's a piece of cake. Following the principles is a piece of cake. They say that in America, it's a piece of cake. It means this is a really, you know, simple, easy thing to do. It becomes a very simple thing to do. Once you get that taste, then Maya may offer so many allurements, who cares, you know? Get out of here, Maya Devi. You're not alluring me with your charms. I'm getting a higher taste. You see? There's a nice example in this connection given by Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita of one great devotee. Formerly he was king, Jamunacharya, Albandru of South India. Formerly he was king, and in the old days in India, king meant king, really meant king. They had harem, they had so much opulence, all facility for sense enjoyment, king. But now he's become Vaishnava. And he's given very nice poetry. Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde nava nava rasadamanu jatirantu masit tadavadi bhattanari sangame smaryamane pavati mukushushtu nishtivanam cha. I love that shloka. So nice. He says, ever since I have been engaged in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, getting, what is that? Nava nava rasa, newer and newer taste, ever increasingly nectarian taste, nava nava rasa. Ever since I've been engaged in Radha Krishna seva, getting nava nava rasa. If in this, since I've come to this position of nava nava rasa, if ever the somehow or other, the thought of sex pleasure comes into my brain, I immediately spit at the thought. He is disgusted with the idea of material sense gratification. He doesn't think, well, interesting thought, let me meditate on that for a while. Enjoying with a woman, let me think about that. I won't do it, but at least I can think about it. Enjoy the thought of it for a little bit here. Like that's a form of cheating called taking a drink of water while taking a bath underwater on a fasting day. You see, well, I'm brahmachari. You see, I have my saffron, but when I take rest at night, as I'm laying down, I'm meditating on some woman. You see. No. That is not the mood of Jamunacharya Albandra. Even if that thought comes, he immediately spits mentally. Not that we go around spitting physically, but mentally we spit. Spit is a thought. I don't need such thing. I have Krishna. The pleasures of this material body, they have nothing to do with me. I am spirit soul, I am situated beyond this body. And the pleasures and pains of this body have nothing to do with me. It is simply an illusion if I think that my happiness and distress is based on these senses. That is simply an illusion. It is a gross illusion. Therefore, the learned transcendentalists, They endeavor for that purposeful end which is not obtainable by wandering from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala Loka. Tashyaiva heto prayateta ko vido na labhyate yad brahmatam ruparyadaha. They have no interest in this pleasure of this material existence. They know there's nothing here. There's nothing here. Any pleasure that may appear to be here, you see, any pleasure that is here, it is simply illusion. Heart is so small, it's not worth it. Just imagine you're dying of thirst in the desert, and I come to you and I say, my dear Prabhu, I've come to bring you water. And I thought, water, thank you. So I stick out your tongue and hear one drop, ping. You see? Will you get satisfied? Will that one drop of water save your life? No, it will agitate you. That's all. And you become more agitated. That little taste of water, now I want a full drink. But it's not there, you see. So material sense gratification is like one drop of water for a dying man in the desert. That's all it is. One drop of water. It agitates you to want more, but it's not there. You see? So instead of going for that false pleasure, the drop of water in the desert, why not go for the whole ocean? You see, that is Krishna consciousness. Whole ocean of pleasure. You simply have to understand that I am the servant of Krishna. My actual identity is Jivara Svarupahoy Krishnara Nityadas. That's who I am. I have nothing to do with this material body. It's just a garment I'm using right now in the Lord's service, that's all. One should solidly, staunchly cut himself free from thinking that his pleasure and pain is connected with the body. Solidly cut that. With the sword of knowledge, cut it. It's like a Kshatriya warrior. Cut the enemy. You see? We have to cut through that illusion in the heart of bodily consciousness. I am male, I am female. You see? I am male, I need a female. Or I am female, I need a male. You see? No. Cut. Cut it. I've received many letters from my internet preaching. I get tons of correspondence every day. And there's so many people who are practicing Krishna consciousness, but they're so disturbed by this desire for the opposite sex, the company of the opposite sex. You see, so disturbed by it. Because they're solidly, even though they know they're not their body, still they come back to thinking that their pleasure is based on the body. So it shouldn't simply be theoretical, I'm not this body. We should make it practical also. Since I'm not the body, I accept that. So my happiness is not based on the bodily situation. We have to find our happiness in pure Krishna bhakti. The time of death, what you can do to make material arrangement for happiness? Nothing. The time of death will be at a stressful position. There's no avoiding it. We're all going to face death today or tomorrow or the next year. It's coming. We don't like to think about it, do we? But it's the reality. Each one of us is going to leave our bodies. And it won't be a pleasant thing unless we're Krishna conscious. One of my godbrothers recently left his body. He was feeling sorry for us, not for himself. He was feeling sorry for us who are still stuck here in this material existence. So if we're actually properly situated in Krishna consciousness, then death will be a very joyful experience. It's like waiting, you know, saving up for that trip to the Holy Dham, and now I'm going to the airport. I'm all packed, I got my ticket. My seat's preserved, now I'm going to the airport. That's it. For a devotee, that is dead. I got my ticket on the Vaikuntha airplane. Now it's time to take off for Golok. For devotee, it's a wonderful thing. I worked hard to save up for this trip to the Dham, and now I'm going. I worked a whole life. My whole life I worked to get this ticket to Vrindavan, and now I'm going. I got a ticket to Golok. So for a devotee who has given his or her entire life in the service of Guru and Krishna, sincerely, in spite of all the defects of the heart, is sincerely pushed forward every day. Let me sincerely follow these principles, even though I'm defective in so many ways. Let me continue to serve the order of my spiritual master with love and faith. You see? Then the moment of death will be the most exciting thing. This is a wonderful moment now. Prabhupada said, for one who is Krishna conscious, death means you go to sleep and you wake up with Krishna. Just imagine laying down at night, dozing off to sleep, and then waking up, instead of waking up in the material world, waking up in Goloka Vrindavan. Just imagine. Mother Jasoda just packed Krishna's lunch, and he's heading out to the forest with the cowherd boys, and you're invited to come along. Just hag along with Krishna on his daily escapades in the forest. Or perhaps the evening has come, and now Krishna is going into the forest with the gopi girls. And you're invited, you get to be one of those gopis that's associated with Krishna in the forest at night. We don't know what our rasa is, but we do know we're the eternal servant of our spiritual master. That's the important thing. We shouldn't try to jump to our rasa. Think, well, I think I want to be a gopi, so I'm going to just meditate on being a gopi. No, we should just meditate that I am the eternal servant of my spiritual master. And that will take us, that's the fast track to regaining your rasa with Krishna. I'm the eternal servant of my spiritual master. If you think, well, Gurudev is not so important, but my rasa is important, then you're not going to get it. But if you think Gurudev is important, my Guru Maharaj, my relationship with him as his servant, that's important then. Then that's how you become quickly recognized by Krishna. Because Krishna says that in the Adi Purana. He says, Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhaktas tate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. If you're my devotee, you're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then I recognize you as actually being my devotee. So, we have to, that's my prayer, that I can never forget that I'm the eternal servant of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Wherever I may be, in the spiritual world, the material world, my only prayer is, may I never forget who I am, that I'm the eternal servant of my spiritual master. That's my prayer. Because that's what enables us to become recognized by Krishna. By taking that humble mood of being the servant of the servant, of the servant of the servant, the servant of Krishna. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
I just want to make a comment, please, and a question. Something happened. Well, on Sunday we were distributing books at the mall, shopping mall, and me and Bhakti Quinton, there was some confusion about us getting picked up and that, you know. So we were up and down, and there was like a little restaurant with tables outside, and there were all people sitting there on the Sunday having their Sunday, whatever it is they're having, and I was there talking, and then all of a sudden one man came up to me, and he said to me, but when I saw him first I thought, uh-oh, here comes the manager, because we were coming right up near the tables, you know. I thought, oh, he's going to tell me, you know, what is it that you want, you know, you should get away here. And then he said to me, is there anything, are you from Durban? I said, yes. He said, can I help you, please? He said, please, because you look like you're in a little bit of trouble. There's something, some confusion, can I help you? So I said, yes, please. My name is Madhu Mangal. I'm a traveling monk. And I said, how are you from Durban? I gave him the books. And then he, after our conversation, he told me he was a Buddhist and he took the book, you know.
Mm.
Then I got the realization afterwards that you were talking about sincerity now, you know.
Mm, very good.
I was thinking about how Krishna in the heart, Lord Chaitanya in the heart, actually makes a person that's not even a devotee sincere to take
very
his
good.
Book or to hear about his holy name.
That's very nice. And now the question?
And then the question I want to ask, a lot of devotees ask Srila Prabhupada about how they should chant, you know.
Mm.
And I just want to ask if we're correct or wrong or right. I think I heard Prabhupada said you must just hear. Just hear. So I just wanted you to, if you can just...
Prabhupada told us to focus the mind on the sound vibration, to clearly chant and hear each and every syllable of the Maha Mantra. This is the... Prabhupada trained us to focus on the sound vibration in the mood of a child crying for mother. Some devotees is pulling this quote from this place and that place to say we're supposed to meditate on the pastimes. But Prabhupada did not teach us like that. This is the age. Haranama, 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 Iva Kevalam. It is not Haralila, Haralila, Haralila. You see? But then we'll say, well, why? Because Nam has everything. Prabhupada told like them. Other things may come spontaneously, but the focus is on the name. Because actually within Krishna's name, everything is there. Every single pastime of Krishna is available in the sound vibration Krishna. Every lila of Krishna is right there, compact within those two syllables. Govardhan lila, you know, every single lila, rasa lila, all the childhood pastimes, every killing Kamsa, everything is right there in Krishna. All the lilas, all the dhams, all the qualities, all the other names, all the forms. The form of a deity is right there within Krishna. Everything is in the form, in the sound, Krishna. So it's not that if you focus on Krishna, well, I want to be absorbed in Lila Smaranam or Rupa Smaranam or Guna Smaranam. Everything is right there in Krishna. Everything. Tunde Tandavali Ratin Vitanute Tundavali Labdaye Karna Krada Kadambadi Gatayate Kunarbade Brishpriham Cheta Prangana Sangani Vijayate Savendriyanam Kritim. No, jane janita ki adbir amitai krishneti varnadvai. This is stated by Rupa Goswami. He says that simply by chanting this name, see, how does that translation go? Let's see. I do not know. Yes. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate this name in the tongue, it's not just vibrating in the tongue, it is dancing on my tongue. And when the sound of those syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, you see. Well, let me back up, I missed one. When it is dancing on the tongue, it's so much nectar there, I want to have millions of tongues because my one little tongue can't taste all that nectar. I want millions of tongues. And when the sound vibration Krishna enters the ear, I want to have millions, billions, and trillions of ears because my two little ears just can't get all that nectar. And then when the holy name dances within the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So that's what's actually there in the name. Someone may wonder, well, what does this mean? Prabhu? Millions of tongues, billions of ears, what is the meaning? Well, I'll give you a very simple example. Let's say you had a wonderful day on Sankirtan. You set a new record for the whole movement, you see. And the devotee said, Prabhu, we've rewarded you tonight. We know you love Gulab Jamun, so please come to the temple room. And we have a little surprise for you. And you walk into the temple room, and the whole room, every single square, cubic inch, of the whole temple room, from the floor to the ceiling, all the way, is completely packed up with 10 million gulab jamuns. Prabhu, here, enjoy yourself tonight. You say, well, I appreciate the gesture, but I can't enjoy it. I'll get sick after about the 10th club jamun. I'll be sick. I mean, how can I possibly enjoy 10 million club jamuns? I mean, there's no way. But Prabhu will give you a special benediction. We're going to give you 10 million bellies to enjoy the 10 million club jamuns. Oh, okay, great. Now I can enjoy them, you see. So in this way, you see, Rupa Goswami is lamenting. There's 10 million worth of club jamuns worth of nectar in Krishna, but I have one little tongue and two little ears. It's just, I don't have enough capacity to get all the nectar out of that utterance, Krishna. I just don't have enough capacity right now to get it. So Krishna, if you can just give me millions of tongues and millions and billions of ears, then I can get at least a little bit more of that unlimited ocean of nectar which is there in Krishna. So in this way, if we have understand what is the name and have faith in the power of the name, we won't think, well, this Hare Krishna chanting is boring. I got to think about some leelas so I don't get bored. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I got to think about, you know, this. No, the name has unlimited nectar, as confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. So we simply have to put full faith in the name and dive deeper and deeper. Doesn't get boring. The deeper you go, the sweeter it gets. And that name will eventually lead you. Do you know where it will eventually lead you? The name? Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena. That name is the key. Will open the door. Well, finally, you will see Krishna face to face, standing right in front of you. You will personally see Krishna. That's a fact. The name is the key that opens the door to Krishna, a direct personal darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the chanting is the hallway to that darshan. You just got to keep going down the hallway. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That is the pathway down the hallway. It's the Nama Marg, which takes you to Krishna Darshan. The pathway of the name, Nama Marg, takes you to Krishna Darshan. So keep chanting in that with faith in the name, and that day will come when you will see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada ordered me like that. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So I'm praying for his mercy. I know on my own I'm nowhere. I'm absolutely nowhere. But by Prabhupada's mercy, even the most impossible thing that some dog like me could someday see God directly, I know by Prabhupada's mercy, even the impossible can become possible. Therefore I keep chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So we thank you very much for your participation in this class today and your participation in the Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly continue in this way, chanting and preaching, and completely revolutionize this country. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.